Welcome to the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Here are your hosts, Jeff Carrier and Seth Lull.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the NFL Talking Head. Head as in singular, because it's Seth Lull back for another solo edition of the NFL Talking Heads. Jeff is on the road again. He's going to be in Atlanta for the next couple days. So it's me, my lonesome, back for another great episode, holding down the fort. We're going to try and get through these next 45 minutes together. So quick agenda. We're going to do a quick, you know, game-by-game breakdown. Not going to touch on every one of the games, but the more noteworthy games, fantasy-wise, I want to touch on just to give my take. I'm going to talk about bye weeks. You know, we are coming up on two of the biggest weeks for byes that are going to be affecting fantasy teams. So we're talking about weeks 8 and 9 as probably the two biggest byes. Each bye has six teams that are on bye. So we're going to be talking about, you know, what your approach should be. You know, how should you prepare for the bye weeks? You know, how does that affect, you know, it's going to change depending on what your record is. If you are 1-4 or 2-3, your bye week approach needs to be a little bit different than if you're 5-0 or 4-1. So we're going to talk a little about that. I'm going to talk, you know, about some players that I like and don't like this week. I think it's going to be a big week for several players. I'm going to do a make or break segment. You know, it's going to be a big make or break week for several players that need to have, they need to show us something, because there have been a lot of underperforming players. We're going to talk about those players and what to do if they don't, you know, if they don't turn it around and they don't have a good week. So we're going to get to that. So a lot of good stuff to get to. Just a reminder for everyone, we have this awesome thing going with FanDuel right now. Based on the success we have with the DK Legends, those guys are geniuses when it comes to daily fantasy. So definitely go to the DK Legends to get your lineups. But we're doing an awesome thing with FanDuel right now, where if you sign up for FanDuel with your first deposit, enter the promo code TOUCHDOWN88, and you get a free entry into the Sunday Million Tournament. Now, this Sunday Million Tournament is the best daily fantasy tournament out there. You can win $1 million. So there's nothing more exciting than setting your lineup for the week, especially if you feel good about certain players. You know, and we're going to talk about some players that I like this week. So throw those players in, put together a lineup. You know how it works. You have a salary cap to basically assemble your team, and then you get an entry into the Sunday Million. And nothing is more exciting than throwing a team together, watching the points go up, seeing you move up in the rankings, and taking home some cold, hard cash. It's almost at a Jeffism there. Take home some cold, hard cash just for setting your lineup and watching football, right? Nothing is better than that. So, also, a quick update on the trade value chart. So, I know this is something we put together that a lot of you are using, because we get so many questions on trades. You know, like, should I do this trade? This trade was offered to me. Should I do it? So we put together this trade value chart, which, you know, it's a point system. So players have different points associated with them. You add up the points. It's foolproof. And for the most part, it's pretty accurate. So we made some adjustments based on last week, right? It's going to be a work in progress. Players' values are going to fluctuate based on the week that they had. For example, T.Y. Hilton went up 15 points. Because of the big week. DeAndre Hopkins went up 23 points. Melvin Gordon went up 20. Chris Hogan up 10. And then some players went down. Stephon Diggs went down 16, you know, with that quarterback situation in Minnesota. Tyreek Hill went down 4. Amari Cooper went down 8. If you ask me, he didn't go down enough. You know how I feel about Amari Cooper. Devontae Parker left the game with an ankle injury. Miami's offense is just an absolute car crash. He went down 4. And Carlos Hyde went down 12. He actually had less touches than the rookie Breida. So, you know, definitely go check out the trade value chart. Now is the time where you want to be working the trade market. You want to be getting out there, offering up some trades, looking ahead. And we're going to talk about that when we go over, you know, the bye week approach. Managing bye weeks is incredibly important in the middle of the season. So let's get to it. I want to talk about some bye weeks now, and I want to go over some of the bye weeks that we've had. So Miami and Tampa had that weird situation where the game got postponed, which that counted as their bye week. So Miami and Tampa Bay have both had their bye, Atlanta, Denver, New Orleans, Washington, already in books. They had their bye week 5. This week, there are a lot of good players on bye. There's Buffalo, so no LeSean McCoy, no Tyrod Taylor. Cincinnati's on bye, obviously Andy Dalton, Joe Mixon, AJ Green, Dallas, Prescott, Elliott, Seattle, Baldwin, Russell Wilson. All those players are on bye. So, and if you're like me, and I have pretty much Dalton in every league, I have Russell Wilson in a couple leagues, you might be without a quarterback, right? You might be without some good players. So I want to talk about how you approach the bye week, because there's generally two different strategies. If you are off to a really good start and you're 5-0, or maybe you're 4-1, and you feel like you have a really good team, like I'm in a league where, you know, I'm 4-1 and I have a very solid team. I feel like I'm built for the long haul, right? I think I'm geared up for a championship run. I got a lot of talent on my team. For bye weeks, I'm gonna be open to taking on players from other teams. So, you know, and it kind of goes hand in hand with trading. So we talked about our trade value chart. The bye weeks can work to your advantage when you look at the trade market. So if you are a team that's 5-0 or you're 4-1 and you're rolling, right? You're cruising through the season. I always like the idea of going and offering trades to other teams in my league that are hurting, right? That maybe are battling injuries, or, you know, for whatever reason, they're just getting unlucky. They're losing to the highest scoring teams, and for whatever reason, they're 1-5, they're 1-4 at this point, or they're 2-3, right? Or even, like, you know, whatever it might be. If they're struggling, I'm offering them trades, and I'm saying, hey, I'll give you some players that are playing this week. You have several players that are on bye. You can't afford to lose another week. It's a must-win week for you. Give me some of your players that are on bye. You know, give me AJ Green, right? And I'll give you a couple players, and of course, use the trade value chart to kind of see if it's a good trade, but offer them some instant gratification players, players that they can use that can help them win a must-win week, and take on some players that are on bye that'll help you down the line. Because if you're 4-1 or you're 5-0, you know, you can afford to do a trade like that. You can afford to, and you never want to give up a week. You always want to try and win in the short term and set yourself up for the long term and for the playoffs. But I always like that idea. On the flip side, if you are a team, and I'm in a league where I'm 2-3, and I love my team. I got a little bit unlucky, and I'm looking ahead at some of these bye weeks, and I'm like, damn, like there are some really tough, like I have a lot of players on bye. So I never like to lose value in a trade, right? Unless I'm, you know, 0-5 at this point in the season and it's an absolute must win. But if I'm 1-4 or even if I'm 2-3 and I really need to get a win, I'll look ahead. And one of my favorite tricks that I want to share with everyone listening is I'll look ahead on the schedule. And I'm always doing this throughout the year. I'm looking 2 weeks ahead, right? So we are now in week 6 for fantasy. So what I will do is I will go to the schedule and I'll look ahead. I'll say, okay, who am I playing week 7? Who am I playing week 8? Now I'm mainly looking for two things. I'm looking at the players that I have on bye those weeks, and I'm also looking at the players that my opponent has on bye those weeks. So for example, I'm playing this kid in one of my leagues week 8. I go to his team. And I click on schedule in the ESPN, right in the page there. And I can see all his players that are on bye. And I see, okay, he only has 2 players on bye. You know, it's an unlucky matchup for me because he has nobody on bye. And then I go to my team and I say, okay, who do I have on bye week 8? I have DeMarco Murray on bye, Andre Ellington. I have Devontae Adams and Jordy. You know, I get hit with the Green Bay bye week 8. So one thing that I like doing is posing someone like that a trade. You know, I'm looking 2 weeks out, week 8, and I say, okay, I'll offer you a trade. I'll give you Devontae Adams, and I'll give you somebody else that's on bye too for like a T.Y. Hilton, somebody that isn't on bye. So I'm looking ahead 2 weeks. I'm giving him 2 players in the trade that are going to be on bye the week that he plays me, so he can't use those players against me. And then he's giving me valuable players that aren't on bye. So when it comes time to our matchup, he's going to have a ton of players on bye, and it completely swings the pendulum in the opposite direction. And most people, when you offer a trade like that, they're not looking ahead at bye weeks. They're not doing that. They're not doing that research. They're not doing that work. They're not putting that much thought into it. So you can outwork players. You can out-scheme them. You can use that trick, and it works a lot of times. Like, it's fair game. That's the way you want to manage these situations. Now, you can do that without giving up value. So, you know, this kid, for example, has T.Y. Hilton. You know, I would offer a Davante Adams combo with maybe a DeMarco Murray for T.Y. Hilton. And, you know, that's pretty close. That gives you an idea. And then when it comes time for our matchup, DeMarco Murray and Davante Adams are both on bye. He can't use them against me. And meanwhile, I have T.Y. Hilton. So you just want to look two weeks out, 3 weeks out, you know, just look ahead at the bye week schedules. I always find that the best time to make trades is a couple weeks out. Another good example is I'm in a two quarterback league where I have both my quarterbacks on bye this week. I have Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott on bye, and there is nobody on the waiver wire to pick up for starting quarterbacks. So if I was to wait this week to make a trade, a lot of people aren't going to trade with me because they say, you know, I don't want to help Seth out. He has no quarterbacks. Why am I going to give him one? Or I lose a lot of leverage. They'll say, well, you need a quarterback, so I need this, and it's going to be more than I want to pay. So you always want to be proactive when managing the bye weeks, when working the trade market, and you generally want to be thinking 2 to 3 weeks ahead at all times. Now, in a perfect world, that's what you want to do. Obviously, sometimes you have to make a trade in the heat of the moment, right? You have to make a trade at the drop of a dime. Something happens. We get it. But you generally want to look ahead, and this will help you win more weeks. The trade that I just talked about where, you know, I'm trading the kid I'm playing in week 8, two players that are on bye, that could help me win that week. That could be the difference in me making the playoffs or not making the playoffs. So that's one of my favorite bye week strategies for trading, you know, thinking ahead. And then the other aspect of it is the waiver wire, right? That's another way you can acquire players in season is working the waiver wire. And in every Monday night we release our waiver wire episode where we go over players that you can pick up. So we always have some good options for you in that episode. Some players that maybe you thought of, maybe you haven't thought of, maybe they're available, maybe they're not. But the waiver wire is a great place to go in season. And for bye weeks, if you see that you have, and you're in my situation, and you have a lot of people on bye week 8, a lot of players on bye, and you know that you need somebody with a high floor that you can throw in your lineup, you know, a great example is a player like a Mike Wallace. So I picked him up this week knowing that, you know, I can't start him this week because I have, you know, I have Danny Amendola, Michael Crabtree, in my flex, right? As well as Davante Adams. My two receivers are Jarvis Landry and Jordy. So I really can't start him, but I'm looking ahead to week 8. So I go to the schedule and I say, okay, Mike Wallace is playing Miami week 8. So, you know, not a great matchup, not a terrible matchup, but Mike Wallace is a high floor player that if I have to start him, I'm okay with it. He's coming off back-to-back decent games, over 17 fantasy points, back-to-back weeks. So you want to be looking ahead. If you wait till week 8 when a lot of other teams are dealing with these bye week problems, there's going to be other people that are going to be looking for Mike Wallace. So it's just staying one step ahead of the teams in your league, both in the trade market, being proactive with trades, and then also on the waiver wire, you know, finding players that fit specific needs for your team. Now, you know, maybe you're 4-1 and you're not worried about bye weeks. So on the waiver wire, you know, maybe you're looking at a more of a high upside handcuff like a Shark Kendrick West, who I talked about earlier this week in the waiver wire segment. You know, if you're 4-1 or you're 5-0, your needs are different. Your approach is going to be different. But if you're in a pinch, like if you're a must win, another good player that we talked about is Roger Lewis. You know, doesn't have a great matchup this week, but he's in for a ton of targets with Brandon Marshall, Odell Beckham, and Sterling Shepard all out. I mean, Odell Beckham and Brandon Marshall out for the season. Shepard's out for probably at least this week. So, you know, the waiver wire trades, if you are in that middle group, middle tier, you know, you're two and three, you're three and two, you're 1-4. You want to be looking ahead, not just at the current week and what you need to do to win this week, but what can I do to put my team in a position to win next week and the week after? Take it 3 weeks at a time, right? You don't have to look ahead to the playoffs. You don't have to get to that point yet. That's down the road. You need to win these next few weeks to put yourself in position to make the playoffs. So that would be my would be my advice. And that's something that I do constantly throughout the season. And I'm up late at night, on a Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. And I'm always just looking for, trying to capitalize on other teams, other players in my leagues, weaknesses on their current situations. If they're losing, I want to take advantage. I want to say, hey, I can help you out. Or if, you always want to be monitoring that stuff, and you always want to be proactive. So that is my bye week approach. And again, it comes down to the waiver wire, trades, and just knowing your situation. If someone walked up and asked you, hey, what players do you have on bye week 8? You have to be ready to say, okay, I have this player on bye. These are my needs. You have to just be aware of that, because it's going to affect the moves that you make during one of the most crucial parts of the season. So that is my bye week approach. Now, I want to get to some of the games this week that are noteworthy. I want to run through some of these games and just, give a high level, overview of what I think is going to happen, some players that I like in the game, so on and so forth. But this is a big week, I believe. We've reached almost the halfway point in the fantasy regular season. Anyway, we're over a quarter of the way in. It's getting to a point now where we're gathering a large enough sample size on a lot of players to get to a point where we say, okay, this player is what he is. He's officially a bust. So I want to talk about some players that I think this is going to be a make or break week for. There are several players that have all these players have underachieved, right? They've already left a lot to be desired. And, especially with a player you draft in the first or second or third round, they have a longer leash because the expectations are much higher. You don't want to cut bait with them. You don't want to drop them. You don't want to sell them off in a trade for pennies in the dollar. And you don't, even want to bench them. A good example of this is, I benched DeMarco Murray the week where he went off. And I think it was week 3 where he had week 3 in Seattle where he had 21 points. It's just tough. There are certain players that just put you in tough positions. So I want to go over, as part of my make or break segment this week, I want to go over several players that I have my eye on. And, I'm saying to myself, okay, I need to see something from this player. They need to have a good week. Maybe it's because they've had so many bad weeks that they're due. And if they don't have a good week this week, I'm cutting bait. Or, the matchup's really good. If they can't produce against this, favorable matchup, then when are they going to produce? So I want to go through a few players. Number one, I have DeMarco Murray. And I just talked about him. Benched him week 3 in one of my leagues. He blew up. And I don't know what it is with Tennessee, but they're incredibly frustrating. In a league, I have DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry. And they're just not running the football a lot this year at all. And Marcus Mariota has been injured, so he's struggled. But DeMarco Murray, he was an absolute workhorse last year. He hasn't had over 14 carries in a game this season. He's only had over 60 rushing yards once, and that was week 3. Only one touchdown on the season. He's not catching the ball as much. So he plays Indianapolis this week. And I'm looking at this matchup, and I'm saying, this is the Indianapolis Colts. This is a team that you can absolutely run the football against, right? They are kind of in the middle of the pack in terms of, how they stack up against the run. They're giving up almost 4 yards per carry, so that's a decent number. But just from a common sense standpoint, it's the Indianapolis Colts. And Tennessee should be able to score points, a lot of points on the Colts. And DeMarco Murray should be a big part of that. So I'm looking at DeMarco Murray, and every week besides one, he's produced a single-digit fantasy point week. And it's not even like Derrick Henry is cutting into his touches at all. I mean, Derrick Henry has been non-existent. So if you were to tell me before the season that, Derrick Henry is not going to, eat into DeMarco Murray's workload, he's not going to be a factor at all, I would say, okay, well, then DeMarco Murray's going to be a stud, because that was the only question mark I had with DeMarco Murray heading into the year. So I'm looking at this matchup with the Colts. I want DeMarco Murray to get over 15 carries. I want to see him get in the end zone. I mean, I want to see some sign of life out of DeMarco Murray. If that doesn't happen and we, you know, and we're, you know, I'm on here talking a week from now about a Murray performance where, you know, he put together another single digit fantasy week, then I, at the very least, I think you have to bench DeMarco Murray, right? And then you also have to consider trading him for something, for anything. So DeMarco Murray is the first player that I have on here. Number two is, you know, a receiver on a team that has everyone has struggled outside of, you know, the, you know, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Martavis Bryant. He was someone that you probably drafted in the fourth round or so going into this season, and he has just been an absolute nightmare. I mean, he only has one touchdown on the season, only one double-digit fantasy point week. That came in week two against Minnesota, and we're talking about just the scariest of floors, like the lowest of low floors. You know, he had a 5-point week against Chicago, a 7-point week against Baltimore, 8 points last week, 3 points week one. I mean, he's another player, and again, the KC's not a great matchup because their secondary has played really good this year. They have Marcus Peters, who's a stud. He'll spend probably most of his time on Antonio Brown. But even though the matchup's bad, I'm sorry, I need to see something from Martavis Bryant. He's got Cincinnati the week after. Cincinnati has been a top five team against the pass this year, and then they go in Detroit, and then he's on bye week nine. So I think you have to see something from Martavis Bryant. If he puts together another single digit fantasy performance, you're looking at benching him or trading him for anything. So, and it's an unfortunate situation to be in. You don't want to have to lose. You know, you don't want to have to lose on your investment if you wasted, you know, a top 4-round pick on someone like Bryant. But Bryant's a player that needs to put up or shut up, and it needs to start this week. So the next is going to be a combo. Terrell Pryor and Jamison Crowder. The Washington Redskins receivers have got to do something this week. They're playing San Francisco. If not this week, then when are they going to put together a good week? Jamison Crowder is a player me and Jeff talked about a lot, or not a lot, but we talked about him a decent amount going into the season, and how, you know, we did our same player different round, and we did the Cole Beasley Jamison Crowder comparison, which I think was pretty spot on, because although Cole Beasley has been pretty bad, Jamison Crowder has been equally as bad, and he hasn't even had a big week, and Cole Beasley just had one. So, you know, Jamison Crowder is on notice. He's not someone you can really depend on for touchdowns. He is a PPR, ideally he's a PPR guy, but he's somebody that, you know, you're not really, he hasn't even put together too many of those Jarvis Landry type games where at least he's piling up a lot of catches. I mean, he had one catch in week four against Kansas City, right? He hasn't topped 60 receiving yards at all this season, zero touchdowns. He's yet to hit the double digit fantasy point plateau. So Jamison Crowder is somebody for me that I'm looking at, and I really need to see something from. You know, when you look at San Francisco and you look at teams against the pass, they are in the NFL. They're 28th. They are a bottom five team against the pass. So they've given up over 1,200 passing yards to opposing teams. Right, so really bad. So they're a team that you can throw the football on. So Washington, fresh out of a bye week, I'm expecting Kirk Cousins to be slinging the football to both Terrell Pryor and to Jamison Crowder. And if that doesn't happen, then I think you really have to start worrying. I think at that point, Jamison Crowder becomes droppable. He's a player that I think if he puts together, you know, if he has 5 or 6 fantasy points, you know, 8, 9, under 10 fantasy points, you're dropping Jamison Crowder if there's any remotely good options on the waiver wire. And then Terrell Pryor, you know, if he had a good game against Kansas City, caught a touchdown, right? And he's had a 6-catch for a 66-yard performance week one against Philly with a couple duds mixed in between. If he doesn't do anything, you're going to be benching him. You can't drop Terrell Pryor, obviously. But, you know, with the bye week to kind of get some sort of chemistry going with Kirk Cousins, I would expect him to come out and have a respectable game at the very least against San Francisco. So Jamison Crowder, Terrell Pryor, I'm putting you both on notice. We need to see something out of both of them. Next up, I have the Detroit running backs. I mean, Ameer Abdullah and Theo Riddick, and especially Theo Riddick. At least Ameer Abdullah has been okay this year. He's been someone that you can start if you're hurting at running backs. You know, he's had a couple good weeks. He had the 20 carries for 94 yards against Minnesota with a touchdown. He's getting carries, over 10 carries every game. He's somewhat involved in the passing game. You know, 3 out of the 5 games, he's had 3 catches. But they're playing the New Orleans Saints, you know, arguably the worst defense in the entire NFL. So Ameer Abdullah and most notably Theo Riddick, they have to produce this week. They have to produce. You know, you'd think that playing in New Orleans, Detroit is going to be throwing the football. So this game is tailor-made for Theo Riddick, at least on paper. And he's had some catches, 6 catches week 1, you know, 4 catches in week 5 against Carolina, but he's only had one game where he's been in double digits in fantasy points, and that was the only game in which he had a touchdown. So that's troubling. You know, Theo Riddick is somebody that should be getting double-digit fantasy points without a touchdown because touchdowns aren't his game. You know, receptions are his game. So this is a game for Theo Riddick. If Theo Riddick puts together a single-digit fantasy performance, then he's droppable. He's 100% droppable. So, and then the last player on here is Jay Ajayi, who I really think is the biggest enigma out of all this because of all these players in this list, because he is probably the biggest casualty of not having Ryan Tannehill. I think that's been the biggest thing. Jay Cutler, you know, most people thought that it would be at the very least a clean wash or an upgrade, but Jay Cutler has just been so abysmal that it's negatively impacted everybody on the Dolphins, most notably Jay Ajayi. I mean, he's been a workhorse this year. You know, he's picking up right where he left off last year in terms of carries. 28 carries week 2, 25 carries in week 5. He's somebody that carries the rock, and they feed him the football. He's not someone that's going to catch a lot of passes. But 0 touchdowns on the season is not a good look for Jay Ajayi. And he's another player, you know, on this list that has only had one game in single digits. He's already had his bye week, so that's good. And he's getting the opportunities. He's getting the touches, which is good. And he's got a couple easy matchups coming up, Atlanta and then the New York Jets. So these are with Jay Ajayi, I would say this is a make or break week for him, but I'm going to give him through week 7. If he puts together back-to-back single digit fantasy games, then I'm looking to trade him for anything I can get. Or, you know, you have to consider maybe you probably can't drop him, but you're benching him. So I'm rolling with Jay Ajayi regardless for the next 2 weeks, and then some tough decisions are going to have to be made. So to recap, the make or break players this week, DeMarco Murray needs to have a big game against Indianapolis. Martavis Bryant, I just want to see some signs of life out of him, right? He's playing KC, tough matchup, but Pittsburgh needs to bounce back in a big way. He should be a part of it. Terrell Pryor and Jamison Crowder, good matchup against San Francisco. I would expect one of them to do well, right? They got to throw the football to somebody. So I'm expecting Terrell Pryor and Crowder to bounce back this week. Detroit running backs, it's projected to be a shootout in New Orleans, as most games in New Orleans are. So Theo Riddick, Ameer Abdullah, we need to see something out of them, especially Riddick. And then Jay Ajayi, arguably the most disappointing fantasy player this season, you know, was drafted right outside the first round. A lot of people took him thinking that he would kind of anchor their running back position on their fantasy team. Hasn't been done yet. So Jay Ajayi needs to put together a big week. So those are my players on for the make or break, my make or break segment. And this is something that, you know, I think we should try and do, you know, every couple weeks, because I think that it gets to a point where you have to make decisions on players. You know, you can't roster players forever. You can't just keep starting them, right? You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So I didn't come up with that quote on my own, but, you know, I'm sure everyone's heard it. So, But okay, now I want to get to some games this week. Want to look at some of the Vegas odds, and this is something I like to do. I don't put a ton of stock into it, but I do like to keep an eye on what the highest over-unders are every week, because it's generally, you know, Vegas is, they're pretty smart, the people over there, so they know what's going on. I like to look at the highest over-unders because it's a good indication of, okay, which games are going to be high-scoring from a daily fantasy perspective. You know, as you heard, you know, with our episodes with the DK Legends, you know, that factors into some of the, you know, the players from a daily fantasy standpoint, but it also helps you determine, okay, if you're in a bye week situation, you want to trade for a player, or you want to spot start a player here, or pick a player up, like that goes into it too. So there are a couple games that I think are particularly sexy. One is, if you own any Houston players this week, then you are just sitting pretty. If you're playing against somebody that has a lot of Houston players going, then you just start digging your own grave now. It is going to be, at least it should be, the game's in Houston. Deshaun Watson has just been going absolutely bananas the last 2 weeks. Will Fuller is a legitimate deep threat. And if you're watching the Houston games, Deshaun Watson is willing to just chuck the ball down the field looking for Will Fuller early and often. He's missed Will Fuller a couple times too, you know, whether it be overthrowing him or it's so he's just chucking the ball down to Will Fuller. So Will Fuller, DeAndre Hopkins, Lamar Miller has looked a lot better. And Deshaun Watson, I mean, the guy can't do anything wrong the past few weeks. So I expect this to be a rout against Cleveland. Cleveland made the switch at quarterback. So they're rolling with Kevin Hogan this week. In a two-quarterback league, I really do like Kevin Hogan. He's more accurate than Sean Kizer. He's more efficient. He still gives you that mobility. He had over 30 rushing yards last week in relief of Sean Kizer. So I think he's gonna give you something if you need to stream a quarterback if you're in a two-quarterback league. So Kevin Hogan is definitely a good start. Duke Johnson, I was definitely wrong about him coming in this year. He's been going bonkers for the Browns the last few weeks. So Duke Johnson, Kevin Hogan, you're rolling with those guys. And this is the week to own Houston players. You know, if you can pull off a fair trade for to acquire a DeAndre Hopkins or a Will Fuller, it's going to be tough because they're coming off two really good weeks. But now's the time to do it. This is a game where I expect, and I know, you know, I'm not really exactly going out on a limb saying this. It is the Browns they're playing, but I expect Houston players to go off this week. So that's one of the games I look at. Another game, the over-under for this game is 47.5. We're talking about the New England Patriots playing against the New York Jets. In-division game, but let's face it, both these defenses have struggled this season. They're both 3-2, so this is going to be a really interesting game. If the Jets beat New England and improve to 4-2, I think that will like be the equivalent of hell freezing over. So I expect the Patriots to win. The spread's 9.5. I don't know if the Patriots are going to cover. I think they will. But this is going to be a high-scoring game regardless. Elijah McGuire is the player to own. I'm going to say this. He is the player to own in this entire game. Forte is... Whether or not Forte comes back, it doesn't really matter. He's going to be a complimentary piece from here on out. And if Bilal Powell can't go, then Elijah McGuire is a player to own in this matchup. He is going to be active in the passing game. He is going to be getting carries. He's going to get so many touches, I believe, that it's going to warrant him being the number one player to own in this series. So Elijah McGuire, if he's available in your league, I know we talked about him during the waiver wire segment earlier this week, go and grab him. On the New England side, I love Chris Hogan. I love Danny Amendola. I don't think he gets enough pub, you know, with the success that Hogan's had. And obviously there's Gronk there and James White, you know, as well. But I love Danny Amendola any of these weeks. I mean, he's one of the most targeted receivers in New England's entire offense. He gets overshadowed by Cooks as well. So I like Amendola, Cooks, and Hogan. I think they're all good options against the Jets. Could expect this to be a high scoring game. So Atlanta, now I wanted to move on to another one, Atlanta and Miami. This, and I know, and I'm just going to keep talking about this game, just if nothing else than for the fact that the Atlanta Falcons defense is my streaming defense this week. And if there's one thing that you know about me, you know that I take pride in my streaming defense. I mean, it's like, it's my thing. You know, if I offer you up a streaming defense and they don't perform, like, I don't know, I'm crawling into a hole and I'm just going to disappear for a while. So I need my streaming defense. It's one of the few things that I contribute to the show is streaming defense. So Atlanta Falcons defense, they're playing Miami. Atlanta's coming off a bye. They're at home. They're fresh. Jay Cutler plays for the Dolphins. It turns the ball over a ton. They can't get anything going. So I love the Falcons defense. One of the players that I do love for Miami is Jarvis Landry. So there is actually a cool stat that I saw on Jarvis Landry. He's accounted for 32.3% of his team's targets. So over around a third of the targets he's accounted for. So, you know, and they're not throwing the ball down the field to him. Most of them are, you know, the depth of the targets, you know, the average depth of target. Jeff would love, you know, that stat. I'm sure he has it somewhere. But he's not catching, they're not throwing the ball down the field to him. He's catching a lot of short passes. But this is a game where they're going to most likely be trailing, right? They've been trailing pretty much all year. Atlanta's going to put up points coming out of the bye week. Miami's going to have to throw to keep up. And Jarvis Landry is their number one option. Devontae Parker has a lot of upside. If he is able to go this week, I like him to a certain extent. But I just love Jarvis Landry. When Miami is down, they're going to be just dinking dunking to Jarvis Landry. Jay Cutler can't get out of his own way. He's going to be looking for the quick pass. And it seems like he's fixated on Jarvis Landry this year. So Jarvis Landry, love the matchup. And then, you know, all the usual players for Atlanta. You're rolling with Julio. It's looking like Mohamed Sanu probably isn't going to be able to go. So love Julio this week. Devontae Freeman, you know, the usual suspects, as we might say. Green Bay, Minnesota. Another game, you know, 46.5. It's, you know, projected to be on the higher end of higher scoring games. It's in Minnesota. Minnesota's defense is they're a good unit, no doubt about it. The one thing with Minnesota is how is their offense going to play? Because, and we'll see if Casey Keenum's been solid this season, but if their offense is turning the ball over or they're not able to move the ball consistently, and Green Bay is getting short fields, they're getting extra possessions, then Aaron Rodgers is just too good. You know, you want to monitor, you know, Jordy Nelson's situation. He didn't play in the last drive. They're evaluating him, but he wasn't on the injury report, so we don't know what's going on there. But him and Devontae Adams should be good, right? They should be fine, like they are every week. So you're definitely rolling with them. On the Minnesota side, I like Jerick McKinnon. I mean, he definitely opened my eyes a little bit in his last performance. So, and I never thought that I would put together a sentence that said, I like, and then Jerick McKinnon's name, because he has just always been average, below average, but big week last week for him. I mean, he outperformed Latavius Murray, 16 carries, 95 yards, had a touchdown, and then 6 catches for 51 yards in the passing game. So you would have to think that Minnesota is going to be trailing Green Bay. They're going to have to move the ball through the air. And I think Jerick McKinnon is going to be active. So I really like Jerick McKinnon in this game. If he's available somehow, some way on the waiver wire, go grab him. But if you have him, you most likely have to start him. This is a good matchup for Jerick McKinnon. So we talked about Washington, San Fran. Over-under for that game is 46.5. Love everybody on Washington coming out of a bye week. Love it, love it, love it. I also like Pierre Garçon this week, though, playing his former team. Pierre Garçon has been a target machine this year. He's been the only consistent player in the passing game for San Francisco. So I like him a lot going back to play the Redskins. So Pierre Garçon is the play if you own the 49 or if you own any 49ers players. Hopefully it's Garçon. Washington, I'm expecting a big coming out party for that entire offense. I'm expecting Kirk Cousins to throw 3 touchdowns. Yes, I said it, 3 touchdowns. So big game there. Last game that I want to get to, or the last two games I want to get to. One is Pittsburgh and Kansas City. Call me crazy, I'm expecting a good game from Big Ben. He's coming off his worst, the worst game by far in his career. 5 interceptions. everyone's bringing up the talk of retirement that, you know, where he said he wasn't sure if he wanted to play anymore, throwing that in his face. We had the Antonio Brown blow up a couple weeks back. Pittsburgh is dysfunctional. So I'm expecting them to get focused and to come to play against Kansas City. We saw what Houston did in week five against the Kansas City defense. It's a good defense, but you can throw the football down the field against the Kansas City Chiefs. And I'm expecting Big Ben to have two touchdowns. Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, goes without saying. You have to have them in your lineup. But I'm expecting Big Ben. If I had Big Ben in a two-quarterback league, I'm not going to bench him for somebody like a Case Keenum, probably. I'm rolling with Big Ben. I think Big Ben is going to have a bounce-back week. And if he has another really, really bad week, you know, maybe one touchdown, two interceptions, less than 200 passing yards, then he's going to be on my make or break segment next week. But I'm not going to, we're not at that point yet with Big Ben. He needs to prove it. This is also a road game for Pittsburgh, so you would like to see them have some success on the road at some point. So on to the last game, and it is the New York Giants at the Denver Broncos. One of the lower scoring games this week, according to Vegas. It's actually the lowest. Vegas has this game at 39 points for the over-under. I'm going under for this game. Denver is an absolute beast of a defense. They are the stingiest defense against the rush. They give up 2.4 yards per carry to opposing teams, which is absolutely ridiculous. And, oh yeah, the Giants can't run the football at all. So the Giants, to say the Giants are between a rock and a hard place is a giant understatement. No pun intended on the Giant. But they have no Odell Beckham, no Brandon Marshall. Sterling Shepard's not playing in this game. They have Roger Lewis and Evan Ingram. So in this game, I know that the Broncos defense is smothering. They have Aqib Talib and Chris Harris Jr. Like, that's not an ideal situation. But I have no problem starting Roger Lewis, and I have no problem starting Evan Ingram, even though he's coming off a zero bomb last week. Four targets, zero catches. Evan Ingram, I'm calling it right now, from here on out, is going to be a factor. And so is Roger Lewis. I mean, it's not pretty. Hasn't been pretty up to this point. Nobody knows who Roger Lewis is, but they have to throw the football to somebody. He's the last man standing. So Roger Lewis, I think this game it's going to be ugly for the Giants, but they're going to be down. They're going to have to throw. They're not going to be able to run the football at all against the Broncos. So I think just based on, you know, sheer amount of opportunities, I think Roger Lewis, he should get close to, I'm not even kidding, he should get around 10 to 12 targets this game. And I expect him to get, you know, at least five catches. So if you're in a PPR league and you have players on bye and you're hurting, Roger Lewis is your best friend this week. On the Broncos side, you know, I really do like C.J. Anderson. I like C.J. Anderson. And I like Demaryius Thomas to a certain extent. I like Emmanuel Sanders as well. I just think that this game is setting up nicely for Denver overall. So, you know, if you look at some of the teams that are on the flip side that are bad against the run, you have the Giants, who are giving up a whopping 4.5 yards per carry. Now, part of that is a little skewed because the Giants have been trailing in just about every single game, so opposing teams are running the football a lot more, as most teams do when they're up. But the fact that they're giving up 4.5 yards per carry is alarming. So I like C.J. Anderson. I think it's a game where Denver's going to be up. They're going to be handing the rock to C.J. Anderson, fresh off a bye week. I like it. So that's my weekly preview, you know, kind of running through the games. And I don't think we do that enough. I think it's good to go game by game. But those are the main games that I'm looking at. Before we get going here, I did want to touch on one player. I had a couple members of the Talking Heads Nation bring up LeSean McCoy. And ask, you know, do you think LeSean McCoy is going to turn it on? Should I be worried? And my answer is, like, I'm not worried at all about LeSean McCoy. Now, has he been a disappointment so far based on, you know, where you drafted him, which was most likely in the first round? Absolutely. No doubt about it. LeSean McCoy hasn't quite lived up to expectations, But the fact of the matter is, number one, he's produced double-digit fantasy points every single week without scoring a single touchdown. So, you know, is that alarming? Absolutely. I mean, you expect LeSean McCoy to score touchdowns, but he's getting the carries. He's one of the running backs. He gets the most carries in the entire NFL. So he's getting the rock. He's getting the touches. He's actively involved in the passing game too. You know, he's had three catches or more in every single game. He's only been under five catches once this year, and that was week four against Atlanta. So I look at LeSean McCoy, and, you know, he's on bye this week. So this is a great week to trade for LeSean McCoy, because whoever has him might be thinking the same thing. They might be thinking, well, he's underperformed. You know, I want to get rid of him. You know, they might be ready to give up on him. And he's on bye, so they can't even use him this week. And maybe they need to win now. So if there's a team in your league that owns LeSean McCoy that has a losing record, go and trade for him. You know, just kind of test the waters and see what they would want in return for him, because he's a great buy low candidate. You know, look at some of his matchups coming up: Tampa Bay, Oakland, New York Jets week 9, New Orleans. He's got some cake matchups coming up, and it's LeSean McCoy. He's healthy, which is the most important thing with LeSean McCoy. I expect the touchdowns to come. Is he going to score double-digit touchdowns? At this point, no. But I still expect, when all is said and done, for him to end up with between 5 and 7 touchdowns. His floor is really, really good. We've seen his floor. He's as safe as it comes. He's not going to kill you. He's not going to put up a zero bomb. And we know that Shady McCoy's got the upside. So he is one of my top buy-low candidates. You know, Jeff might even have had him as one of his trade targets, but it's good that he didn't, because if Jeff had him as one of his trade targets for this week, then, you know, LeSean McCoy would tear his ACL, even though he's in the middle of a bye week. He'd be, like, on his couch and just, like, tear his ACL. So, but anyways, so go trade for LeSean McCoy. If you take one thing away from this episode, trade for LeSean McCoy. And, oh, yeah, start my streaming defense of the week, the Atlanta Falcons. Should be a fun week. We'll talk to you guys later. We are the NFL Talking Heads. Have a good weekend.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Try saying that 3 times fast. With your hosts, Jeff Carrier and Seth Lowe. We'll catch you next time.